Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
630 CHED and the Edmonton Oilers Hockey Club present the show that is everything Oilers. Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer.
Brought to you by Digitex. Managed print services to keep your printing costs down?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Number two of Oilers Now, Bob Stauffer and Brendan Escott with you. Had a informational session with Hart Levine from Puckpedia discussing some of the unique challenges facing the National Hockey League with things like escrow and deferral. And John Shannon coming up today at 1:35. David Staples from the Cult of Hockey in about 38 seconds time. The second hour of Oilers Now is brought to you by Digitex. They wish you and yours all the best during these challenging and uncertain times. Digitex.ca is Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office technology and software. We're on Twitter at Oilers Now. You can tweet me personally, Bob_Stauffer. Brendan at Brendan with two E's, Escott with two T's. Keep pumping out those texts on the Ashley Fine Floors text line, 780-496-0063. Ashley Fine Floors providing winning results for over 35 years. Just before we go to David Staples from the Cult of Hockey, I do want to get into a couple texts here regarding movies from the 1980s. This, since we opened up with St. Elmo's Fire today because it's John Parr's birthday. National Lampoon's Vacation says Fear the Finn. So a little Chevy Chase. Now, was that the one with Beverly D'Angelo? I'm thinking it was. And The Secret Professor. I believe I did his podcast. Smart guy. Videodrome is the best film of the 1980s. David Cronenberg, James Woods, and the singular Debbie Harry. Of course, better known as Blondie. Again, you can text us at 780-496-0063. Alan says, Bob, I'll preface this by saying I didn't exist in the 1980s, but my favorite 80s movie, and probably my favorite movie ever, is Full Metal Jacket. R. Lee Ermey delivered some classic one-liners in the boot camp portion of the movie. Watching that movie was a rite of passage as a young Army cadet. That one comes to us from Alan. Originally, he was supposed to be, the actor you mentioned, was supposed to be sort of the go-to educator for all of the actors, and then they realized, wait a sec here, we need this guy to do it because, you know what, he knows it, and he ended up carving out a bit of a niche for himself as an actor as a result of that role. Michael D'Onofrio was in that. I've always liked his work from the, what's that show that used to be on Sunday night? There's a whole series of them, whatever it is. We got David Staples lined up. Brendan, we ready to go here with him?
Yes, sir.
All right. From the Cult of Hockey, David Staples. David, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Bob. How are you doing, man?
Good, good. Now, you are a guy who grew up during the 1980s. Do you have a favorite 80s? Do you have a favorite 1980s movie?
I got two. I'm tempted to go with Blade Runner. Such a great last scene. But I have to go with the classic 80s movies, Bob. I feel the need for speed, Top Gun. That there isn't a better movie for summing up the kind of the vibe of the 1980s than Top Gun. Kind of optimism, a little bit of jingoism. That was the Ronald Reagan era in the United States.
Yes.
And young guys, you know, I was a young guy then too. And I've heard you mention, Bob, that some people might have thought that you kind of looked like Tom Cruise back then.
I know it's hard to believe. I went from looking like Tom Cruise to looking like and it's just the character's name, but Big Pussy from The Sopranos. So it's been quite the evolution or de-evolution over the years. And The Sopranos, great TV show, the 1990s. Dave, just before we get to some of the prospect stuff, there was an interesting tweet out. Like, Dustin Penner is a different cat. We all know that. He's a little bit atypical in the majority of the former players on Twitter. And he fired something out last night that allegedly surfaced in a city council meeting in Edmonton. You're the perfect guy to address this. Did this speaker actually take this conversation take place during a city council? What's going on there? What happened?
Well, I've had the clip sent to me by about three or four people, and it does sound like a city council meeting. If I'm not mistaken, when I hear the voice, it's Councillor Aaron Paquette. And they have meetings, and you can speak for 5 minutes. And it sounds like this Dr. Roger Hodgkinson,
yes,
who is a pathologist and a you know, very, very accomplished doctor. And essentially, in very colorful language, he was just laying bare some of the facts about COVID, you know, and you know, people, he's in the camp that says everyone should get on with their lives, pretty much, and we should protect old people, although I don't know if he said that we should protect old and vulnerable people, but he was in that camp, you know, let's get on with our lives, and there's lots of people in that camp. You know, if you want to read the science behind that, just Google the Great Barrington Declaration. But there's other people, other scientists who say, you know, this is a very deadly disease for elderly people. We're doing a poor job of protecting them, so we have to do, it's a bit more of a balancing act, and it's a very difficult one. So it's hard to know sometimes what to think, Bob, with all of the conflicting evidence from scientists. And I don't think there's any clear path, any clear or easy path forward. These are brutal times. And everyone's struggling to make sense of it.
All right. So you have to cover this on a day-to-day basis. How frustrating is it when you see it get politicized a little bit? Because I get the sense that it gets politicized. And obviously, maybe libertarians, and again, if you're a libertarian, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're a Canadian liberal. But if you're a libertarian, you might have a different perspective than somebody that's you know, maybe far left or, for that matter, far right. So how much of a political football is this, David?
Well, when Trump was still in power, it was really hot politically because Trump's a libertarian, and he was going with the, you know, the let things go, let things flow in terms of the economy. But the funny thing is, a lot of scientists, like the people who have signed, you know, people from Oxford and Harvard and very smart individuals who are scientists also go with kind of a libertarian philosophy in terms of control of this disease. But there's other scientists who really go for a much more controlled approach. And I think in Alberta, what they're trying to do so far, as I can tell, is take a middle ground. So,
okay. Just got some news out of, I believe it was a tweet from Richard Zussman out of BC saying there's a possibility that they're going to put a ban on provincial travel, non-essential provincial travel in British Columbia to limit the spread. They've obviously had an increased amount of caseload like everywhere else. It doesn't matter if it's an NDP government, a Conservative government, throughout the Northern Hemisphere right now. Germany was a country that was ahead of things. They're getting pounded. And this ties back into hockey, David. Like, you know, we're sitting here hoping that the NHL and the NHLPA can broker a deal so we can play in 2021, but we still are at a little bit at the mercy of this thing, aren't we?
I don't know what's going to happen. Like, I was convinced last spring, right from the start, that there was going to be, I was 90% right from the start, there's going to be playoffs. And there were playoffs because it just seemed like it made economic sense with the TV contract, so they had to go forward. It just seems, you know, if we can't get the numbers under control here in North America, and if we get continuing like 1,000 a day, 2,000 a day, if we can get it, we might get up to that. Who knows what's going to happen? If it gets up that high, Bob, you know, and in the States, it's already that high, like on a per capita basis, their numbers in some American states. So what's the NHL going to look like? How are they going to go? And if I had to make a prediction, I'm going with the later dates rather than the earlier dates. And, you know, you know, the one piece of good news on the horizon is the talk of these vaccines that look very promising. So the NHL owners might be thinking, if the vaccines are real and they're coming out, why not wait a little bit, delay as much as we can, and get fans in the stands rather than push ahead? Although they might want to push ahead anyway, if the TV money is enough just to make it barely sustainable and the players can, they can hammer out a deal with the players, maybe they'll do it that way. But, you know, in terms of fans in the stands, obviously the vaccine at this point is the only thing that's going to make that happen.
All right.
In the European games that I'm watching, Bob, there are fans in the stands. I should say. Like, some of the leagues have, you know, sometimes they'll have 100 fans. Sometimes it looks like in Russia, it looks like there might be a couple thousand. And then sometimes in the Swiss League games, there's none.
Yeah, and it's all over the map. And that's where we're going to go next, because one of the things we're doing with your Cult of Hockey site is you're upgrading and grading, or you're updating and grading the performance of the Oilers' 18 players. I think there's 18 that are currently playing over in Europe right now, 18 players and prospects. And the first question I have is, how difficult is it for you to, seriously, you're not in the building, you're watching it online, it's different, like the Finnish League is different than the Swiss League, it's different than the Swedish League, it's different than the KHL, the Austrian League, I mean, you got players in five or six different leagues, how can you judge, you know, what are the hazards of judging players by, you know, Twitter highlights and that sort of stuff?
Well, the Twitter highlights thing is really misleading. I mean, because we'll see Philip Broberg, or Broberry as they call him in Sweden. We'll see a highlight of him going end-to-end. And then you watch a game, and you're kind of hoping to see that, and you can go whole games, and you don't see him rush the puck like that, and you could be disappointed. To the extent where he's actually had a pretty good game, but because you're hoping for that Twitter highlight, you might rank him a little bit less. So there's a couple issues. You know, the NHL scouts right now are using these scouting services, online scouting services. They can't get into a lot of the rinks, I understand. So a lot of NHL teams are using these kind of same services that we're using to watch the games. And the feeds are really good. Sometimes when you watch the AHL games, for instance, they're terrible in the past. But the European feeds are really strong, and you get a good sense of the players. The confounding thing is, though, you watch, let's say, Evan Bouchard in the Allsvenskan League, which is Swedish Division 2. And then you watch, or Rafael Lavoie in Swedish Division 2. He's on the worst team. And then you watch Kirill Maximov, who's in the KHL. The KHL is a really hard, good league. It's the closest league to the NHL. So it's hard to rank Maximov against Lavoie, who's in this league, which is somewhere between the QMJM, Major Junior Hockey, Quebec Major Junior Hockey, and the AHL. It's kind of in between there. Whereas the KHL is just a cup. It's between it's the best European league. So to try to get a sense, like, Maximov's maybe not doing so well in his games, but he's playing much tougher quality of competition. So you really have to get your head around that.
All right, I want to talk about the Oilers' three first-rounders that are currently playing right now. And I'm going to go, we're actually going to start locally, because Dylan Holloway, those games were on national TV. Unfortunately, we didn't get it here in Canada because it was on the NHL Network on NBC SN out of the States. But Dylan Holloway playing. He's at now the Team Canada World Junior Camp, where, by the way, he's in a separate pod. He's not skating with the main guys down in Red Deer yet. What did you see out of Holloway over the couple games against Notre Dame?
Actually saw kind of a commonality between Broberg and Holloway, in that the Oilers, with their last two first picks, have drafted a similar kind of player. These guys are both big. They're big players, and Broberg especially looks big on the ice. He's 6'3", 205, 210. Holloway is 6'1", I think, 205. They're big, and they're really great skaters. Are those guys ever fast? They can both wheel with the puck, move with the puck. They're agile. They go in all directions quickly. Their skating is out of this world good. Like, it's the thing that jumps out of more than anything else. Plus, they also have some skill. And the question is, with both of them, is do they have, what kind of offensive skill do they have? Do they have that really kind of elite offensive skill that would make them, that would make Holloway a top six forward, or Broberg a top pairing defenseman? And my answer is they might. Like, they really might. I know that Mike Zanier was on last week and said he sees Broberg 4, 5, 6. I really think Broberg at least is a second pairing defenseman in the NHL has top pairing potential. He really can fly out there, and he can go through. He'll sift through the entire team. He can do it once a game, and he's doing it more and more.
It's interesting because Mike was quite effusive in his praise of Joel Pearson. Okay, and his ability to potentially be a puck-moving defenseman at the NHL level. And yeah. I could tell you, we knew in the first 2 days of training camp that wasn't going to happen. That he didn't have the pivoting skills with his skating, and then he couldn't man up physically. And when I mean man up, I mean one on one. He was absolutely overwhelmed. And so conversely, I look at Broberg. I'm like you. To me, he's a top three D man all day. And I just know that from watching him against the other NHL guys. Holloway to me is an interesting one. Wisconsin had such a horrendous year, David, a year ago. Massively. Yeah. I mean, people thought that was the best recruiting. There were people in the States that thought that was one of the best recruiting classes in the last decade in the NCAA. And Wisconsin came in dead last in the Big Ten. And it kind of is a bit like Boston College. Like Boston College kept on having an BU. They've had some really good recruiting classes. And after having some really successful programs circa 2009 to about 2013-14, you know, they've been relying on those first-year players, and it didn't pan out. So I was intrigued to see Holloway's sort of improved performance in his second year. I want to ask about Bouchard as well. I mean, he's really picked it up offensively. It's way too good for the league that he's playing in right now. Is it, you know, how can you judge sort of second division Swedish hockey? How can we even get a fair gauge on that?
It's hard. And he is so fantastic at this level of play, Bob. It's like he's a robot, and he's got some kind of laser guidance system on his passes. So every one of them, they'll go right through other players, like between their skates. He passes right through guys like a Harlem Globetrotter passing the basketball, and hits guys right on the stick. And he's constantly doing that all game long. And at that level of play, he's able to do it. The one thing I see, and I don't know if this will translate. He is really quickly, rapidly joining the play, like joining the attack as the extra attacker. When it's a three-on-three rush, he'll rush up there, and he's moving very well with the puck. But again, it's somewhat hard to get a gauge on him. Like, Broberg's playing at a higher level than Bouchard is. Bouchard's crushing it. Broberg's doing okay, but what does that mean exactly? So, you'd have to be a hockey guy at a higher pay grade than me to be able to assess that.
All right, David, how do people, you do split it between you've got two separate Twitter accounts, is that right?
Yes, because I don't like to mix politics and sports too much. David Staples Yegg for politics, which I write about all the time, and then at D Staples for the cult of hockey stuff.
Now, in fairness, you got to go to the mouth of the lion when you're talking radio, and given the current plight we're in right now, the pandemic in relation politics does play a factor into when we could be potentially starting as well. There's some really interesting theories out there, David. One of these days we'll do a little discussion on a reset.
Well, I'm working on a story right now, Bob, on all the different theories. There's three main theories for COVID and how to battle it, and I'm digging into it right now. So that's my current topic.
All right. Send me that story when it gets done. Okay. Thanks, David. Great stuff. That is David Staples from the Cult of Hockey. It is 1:22 at Edmonton. Oh, we could have some fun coming up. Greta Trivia. It's not going to be an easy one when we come back on Oilers Now.
This is Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
All right, I don't think it's that hard, but we're going to open up the River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline at 780-496-0063. And during these times where, you know, there are going to be days when we eventually do get back to some form of normalcy where we'll be doing things like interviewing Jay Woodcroft on Mondays after the completion of an American Hockey League weekend and talking to Brad Lauer on a Thursday about the upcoming weekend for the Edmonton Oil Kings, all that kind of stuff. And then, of course, the day-to-day, that is everything Oilers on a show like Oilers Now. But we're not at that place yet. And we got some work to do in that regard. But you still got to have a little bit of fun with things. And we talked a bit about, to open the show today, St. Elmo's Fire, the Brat Pack, and, some of the great 1980s movies. So this question sort of has to do with the 80s and sort of has to do with hockey. Time for Oilers Now Trivia, brought to you by Greta Global Street Food, Greta Bar. Eat drink, play. Brennan Escott, what are people playing for today?
Well, they've got all those games down at the Greta Bar, all the arcade games, the classics, the currents, and you're getting $50 in gaming credit towards those.
All right, here we go. It's tied to the 1980s, and it has to do with Wayne Gretzky. Which soap opera did Wayne Gretzky make a cameo in where he was referred to as Wayne from the Edmonton operation? Again, the question, which soap opera did Wayne Gretzky appear in a cameo where he was referred to as Wayne from the Edmonton operation? I was actually surprised he didn't get an Emmy for best guest appearance on a soap opera. Because, you know, he was, after all, still is, the great one, the great Gretzky. So you can always have a little bit of fun. 780-496-0063.
We got a winner, Bob.
Dean, we got a winner.
Dean was all over it. Dean knew it was The Young and the Restless.
You would not believe how many Days of Our Lives we're currently getting. Now, Bo and Hope are on Days of Our Lives. Actually, you know, you opened up with Mr. Going back about a month ago. Broken Wings, and that was sort of one of the characters on Bo and Hope, now I'm getting them mixed up. Young and the Restless is the answer for Wayne from the Edmonton operation. YNR. We got a lot. Actually, I'd say about 90% of the texters right now are banging it out on Young and the Restless. Who knew? We got a General Hospital. It was not General Hospital. That was Luke and Laura. They were like the first super couple. Hey, it was the 1980s. I mean, you know, you weren't in school all day back then. Obviously, judging by the amount of texters, like we've probably had 60 texts fly in here in the last 7-8 minutes. So, yes, the answer in the last 4 minutes, Days of Our Lives, was the one with Bo and Hope and Patch. But Wayne Gretzky's appearance was on Young and the Restless. There you go. And so for the multitude of the listeners to the show that have gotten Young and the Restless, congratulations. Wayne from the Edmonton operation. Unquestionably one of the greatest acting moments in soap opera history. Is that the one with Susan Lucci? Which one's she on? Is she on Young and the Restless? I don't even know. There you have it. 127 in Edmonton. Uncle Milt. Out in Brentridge, pretty sure he was a big Young and the Restless fan back in the day. Telling me at Brentridge Ford and Wetaskiwin, they are looking for your trades. They are down several units, and the Ford Motor Company will give you a trade-in bonus of up to $2,500 for your 2016 model or older. The team at Brentridge Ford is keeping your safety their top priority as they comply with all AHF's safety protocols. Go down and see Uncle Milt, Rich, Johnny, and the gang at your Ford Truck Authority on the Auto Mile in Wetaskiwin. John Shannon is coming up. I don't know what his favorite soap opera was from the 1980s, but we're about to find out what his favorite movie was. And then obviously we're going to hook up on the conversation around the NHL and the NHLPA. Off to a global news weather traffic update with Randy Kilburn.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.